Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
President Biden moves to protect workers from extreme heat. What one elected official in Texas did to call attention to the problem. And today on the show, the service employees, United Healthcare in Florida, and LIUNA's new general president. Welcome to the Monday, July 31st edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have a total of three guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Stacy White. Stacy is a speech therapist and a bargaining committee member for SEIU, that's the Service Employees International Union, 1199 United Healthcare Workers East in Florida. And she will be joined by Vaughn Benton. Vaughn is also a member of the bargaining committee and serves as pharmacy manager for HCA Healthcare. And we're going to talk about a new contract, which was not easy to achieve. The members of United Healthcare Workers East, which, by the way, is the largest union of healthcare workers in the state of Florida, recently voted overwhelmingly to ratify a new contract with HCA Hospitals that makes significant, and I mean significant, progress in addressing staffing, retention, and care crisis throughout the state. We've done a couple of shows on the staffing in hospitals around the country, and for the most part, it's been atrocious. And sadly, these hospital chains are making a whole lot of money. HCA, by the way, largest healthcare company in the country, and reported approximately $13 billion in profits and $120 billion in revenue combined in 2021 and 2022. Approximately 40% or $24 billion of annual company revenue generated from taxpayer-funded programs like Medicare and Medicaid. Yeah, very profitable at taxpayers' expense. Now, this three-year contract will cover about 10,000 nurses, CNAs, technicians, dietary aides, and other healthcare workers at 19, a total of 19 HCA facilities in South Florida, Treasure Coast, Central Florida, Southwest Florida, and Tampa Bay. Some of the highlights include a wage grid with no salary caps in the first 2 years, largest increase ever secured in contract talks with HCA, wage equity provisions. We'll explain what that's all about. That will raise a current employee's salary to match a new hire with equal experience brought in at a higher rate. Apparently that's been going on for quite some time. So Stacy White, along with Vaughn Benton, will be joining us for the first two segments. Later in the show, we are going to check in with the new general president of our presenting sponsor here on America's Workforce, and that would be Brent Booker. Brent took over the position from Terry O'Sullivan on May 1st. A little background on him. He's a proud University of Virginia graduate, third-generation member of Labor's Local 795 out of New Albany, Indiana, son and grandson of LIUNA leaders. Growing up, he said he saw the difference that a union membership made in people's lives, often lifting entire families out of poverty and into the middle class. He served as Secretary Treasurer of the North American Building Trades Unions from 2012 to 2022, helped strengthen and modernize a broad federation of 14 building trades unions in the United States and Canada, negotiated labor agreements that generated hundreds of thousands of work hours for building tradesmen and women on a wide range of construction projects, and that includes offshore wind farms, microchip, semiconductor manufacturing plants, railroads, heavy industrial, major civil infrastructure. Brent Booker also served as Secretary Treasurer of Helmets to Hard Hats. And prior to his appointment as General President, Brent served as LIUNA Vice President and Special Assistant to the General President. We're going to talk about his vision for LIUNA to grow it, share the great news about LIUNA members and building tradesmen and women, what they did recently, rebuilding I-95 in Philadelphia in record time. We talked about this on the show. This was amazing when a tanker truck actually melted the beams on the overpass and it collapsed. This was a very, very busy highway. And my gosh, it was in lightning speed that all the unions came together and got that done in just a matter of weeks. So we'll talk about that, and also we'll get into the politics. LIUNA has already endorsed the Biden-Harris ticket for 2024. So Brent Booker, new general president of Laborers International, LIUNA.org, will be our second guest on the show. Now, brief look into the world of labor. The segment brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. Well, this is a long time coming. President Biden has announced new actions to protect workers from extreme heat, as historically high temperatures expose millions of people to serious danger. Biden asked the Department of Labor to issue its first ever hazard alert for heat. Now, hazard alerts are used by the Department of Labor to provide guidance to employers on how to comply with their legal obligations. They do not create new standards or legal obligations. So, the Labor Department published a hazard alert the same day, reaffirming that employers have a duty to protect workers against heat. The alert advised employers not to assign work in high heat conditions without protections like adequate cool water, rest breaks, shade, or a cool rest area for employees. It also recommended that employers train employees on preventing, identifying, and treating heat illness. The DOL said it is planning what they call enhanced enforcement actions, including inspections with a focus on locations and industries where high heat impacts vulnerable worker populations. The federal government also launched heat.gov, a new website for the National Integrated Heat Health Information System with interactive maps, weather forecasts, and recommendations. Now, the White House noted that more than 400 workers have died due to environmental heat exposure in the last 10, 11 years. Thousands more are hospitalized every year. Exposure to extreme heat can cause heat stroke, heat exhaustion, and cramps, and the White House hopes its actions will better protect workers who labor outside in industries like agriculture or construction and are therefore especially susceptible to severe illness or death from heat stress. Yvette Cruz is a spokesperson for the Florida Farm Workers Association. She said, "I don't know why it took them so long to do this, but they need to act quicker because things are only getting worse." In fact, the Farm Workers Association held a vigil last week for a 29-year-old man who died while picking fruit on a South Florida farm on July 6. Another farm worker died of extreme heat on his first day of work, and that was in Parkland, Florida, at the beginning of the year. Got to call attention to an article that I read last week about this, and it was written by John Nichols, one of the great writers over at the Nation, and he focused on the state of Texas, and we talked about this on the show because a couple of cities in Texas, Austin for one, said that if you're going to be in construction and you're working in extreme heat, well, you need to take a rest break, like 10 minutes, get some water, and do that every 4 hours. Well, the legislature said, no, we can't do that because it's not uniform. And so the Texas AFL-CIO went to the legislature and said, okay, let's do it in every city then. This was Austin and Dallas, I believe. The legislature said no. And just last week, Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed into law. You can't take that rest break. That law will go into effect in September. Greg Cesar is a former worker rights organizer and a member of the Austin City Council. And he said, bought and paid for politicians like Governor Abbott are stripping workers of their right to a water break in the middle of a historic heat wave. By the way, the heat index in Corpus Christi last week, 125 degrees. So Cesar, who was elected to the House last year on a promise to shake things up in Washington, is shaking things up. Last week, a campaign to protect workers from extreme heat saw Greg Cesar and a veteran labor activist, Dolores Huerta, launch a day-long vigil and thirst strike on the steps of the U.S. Capitol. It was a dramatic gesture, but one that the former community organizer with the Texas Workers Defense Project said was essential to saving lives. Cesar says he knows that the Biden administration sympathizes with the plight of workers in Texas and other states that are experiencing blistering heat waves this summer, but that sympathy needs to be coupled with a sense of urgency. To that end, Cesar and a number of other members of the Congressional Progressive Caucus got more than 100 congressional Democrats to sign a letter calling on the Biden administration to move immediately to implement a national Occupational Safety and Health Administration workplace heat standard that would apply in all states, including Texas. A number of senators, including Ohio's Sherrod Brown, Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, Alex Padilla of California, have all joined the call, as has Vermont independent Bernie Sanders, who says, this is a quote, "It's beyond belief that in the middle of what is expected to be the hottest year on record, right-wing politicians want to take away basic rights like water breaks." Major unions have chimed in as well, with National Nurses United reminding members of Congress and the administration that heat kills more people annually in the U.S. than hurricanes, tornadoes, and flooding. Can you believe that? So we'll see what's happening here. Obviously, the White House is getting a message on this. They're doing baby steps right now. But it's amazing what some of these politicians, where they stand and have little to no regard for workers. It's amazing, just amazing to me. All right, I have to take a break. You're listening to America's Workforce. When we come back, we're going to check in with the service employees, United Healthcare East in the state of Florida.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at CWA-union.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go to the state of Florida right now. And we have two people joining us on our live line. Stacy White serves as a speech therapist, a member of the bargaining committee with SEIU, United Healthcare Workers East. That would be 1199. I failed to mention their website at the top of the show. It's 1199seiu.org/Florida. And joining Stacy is Vaughn Benton. Vaughn also serves on the bargaining committee and works as a pharmacy manager. Stacy, I'm going to start with you. Give me a little background on yourself. So you're a speech therapist. Talk to me about your role and also your role with SEIU, United Healthcare Workers East in the state of Florida. Go ahead.
As you said, I'm a speech pathologist. I've done that for 15 years. I've been an SEIU member for approximately 3 years at this point. I'm a member and a member of the bargaining committee as well.
And you just approved a new contract. We're going to get into that in a minute. Vaughn, you are a pharmacy manager. Talk to me about yourself. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to clarify. So I've been a pharmacist for close to 10 years now, close to a decade now. Seven of those years with HCA, initially as a staff pharmacist, and then work my way up to actually an assistant director role at one of our larger facilities here in the Orlando area. And during COVID, I started my own business, eventually stepped down to part-time staff. So my current position is part-time staff in the department that I was once assistant director.
I gotcha. Becoming a pharmacist, could you share that with us as far as how that goes, as far as the training, the schooling on that? Because I know there's a need for pharmacies, for pharmacists out there. Can you explain that part to our listeners?
Sure. Depending on when you chose to become a pharmacist, kind of has changed how long it's taken. But the traditional route is 2 years of prerequisite courses or like an associate's degree, and then 4 years of an advanced program, which is specifically the pharmacy program. But as it's become more competitive within healthcare, and they've required it to be more than a bachelor's degree and more than a master's, and now it's a doctorate only, most individuals are getting a four-year bachelor's instead of the associate's and then doing 4 years of pharmacy.
To your knowledge, I remember a couple of years ago, there was a demand for pharmacists. Is that still pretty much the case?
The demand has changed. I'd say early 2000s, there was a really, really high demand for pharmacists out there. There's been quite a few schools pop up since then. I'd say since early 2000s, just in the state of Florida, we've more than doubled the number of pharmacy schools. Mm-hmm. And there's about 1,200 pharmacists graduating each year in the state of Florida. So
yeah,
over time, that demand has definitely shifted. And until there's a expansion of the scope of practice for pharmacists, I think that we're at a point where we have more pharmacists than there is demand.
And I could see that, too, because of the senior population there. Obviously, those pharmacies can get busy at times. We should point out, too, that 1199 SEIU, United Healthcare Workers East, is the largest union of healthcare workers in the state of Florida, representing more than 35,000 active and retired nurses, certified nursing assistants, and other staff in hospitals, as well as nursing homes and other facilities throughout the state. Stacy White, I want to go back to you. Let's talk about the healthcare facilities at HCA. Now, HCA, from what I've been reading, pretty profitable healthcare company, one of the most profitable in the world. But apparently they've been a little stingy. Let's talk about this, the short staffing and the lack of proper pay and protections. Can we get into that?
Short staffing, it's widespread. It's across healthcare facilities, and HCA is certainly one of those companies where short staffing is prevalent. It's a profitable company. It's the largest in the country, and their executives, they make tens of millions of dollars. The majority of their revenue comes from Medicare and Medicaid funding. They do have the money to staff properly. And, I mean, we, as healthcare workers, we need it staffed properly to do the best for our patients that we possibly can. The less than ideal pay, it leads to a turnover problem, retention problem with staff that is there, and it creates a cycle of short staffing, which boils down to affecting patients and their families.
Can you explain how patients are affected? I think a lot of people need to know that. I know it's at a peak. It's been at a peak over the years, and I know a couple of unions have addressed this. I know the National Nurses United was very proactive in the state of California. They got some legislation passed. Florida, different kind of state. It's a right to work state. But I'm just wondering, can you speak to that? I mean, you work as a speech therapist. It's got to put a burden on you, your fellow workers. Can you tell us some stories here?
Sure. I can comment on my own experience due to short staffing with my profession, particularly where I work. I've had assigned to me more often than not patient caseloads where I'm expected to care for double digits of patients each day. It's gone as high as being assigned 30 patients to care for in one day. And as comparison, average for my profession would probably be about 8 patients per day. So it's over 3 times the workload and amount of patients to care for as what would be typical. And I mean, it comes down to a decision every day. Who am I going to treat and who am I going to help? Who's going to have to wait? And it when I'm in that position, and I know that's for my specific profession, that same situation occurs for coworkers as well. Being in that position, it boils down to, it's sort of like Sophie's choice on a daily basis. Who's going to be helped and who's going to not be helped? And there's no good choice in that matter. Regardless of the choice made, some patient and their family is going to inadvertently be neglected any given day. And it turns into a matter of forgiving myself daily for what I can't do because of the position I've been put in mm-hmm. that type of a position.
Yeah, it's got to take a toll on you, no doubt. That's crazy. It should be 8 and it's up to 30. Now, when you went to management and said, hey, people are not getting the service that they deserve and need, what did they say to you when you told them that?
It's resulted in disciplinary action on bringing that situation forward.
Really?
Yeah.
So you you get disciplined for trying to do the right thing. That's amazing. How long has this been going on, that patient load of 30 patients for you?
That for me personally,
yeah,
double digits worth of patients, that's gone on for months at this point.
Now, the new contract that you ratified in June, does this clarify what you just went through? Does it make it better?
I mean, it's definitely a step in the right direction to address the staffing problem and the retention problem. We've made a lot of gains in that with regards specifically to wages and starting rates. And it was specifically addressed that HCA, it must compensate the workers if workers are called off on a shift that is understaffed or the call off would result in it being understaffed. But it's by no means a complete solution to it. It's just a step in the right direction for it.
Gotcha. Did they play hardball through this whole thing? Did you have to threaten to go on strike to get your way?
Well, none of us made threats, but they definitely, it was a difficult process getting the contract that we had, and then the ratification process.
Obviously, you bring up some valid points here. What did they come back? Did they say they couldn't afford this? Did they say that we can't find workers? What was their response to you?
There were multiple comments made, specifics of them. I don't want to quote anyone because I don't remember the exact wording that anyone used. But the attention paid to it, I wouldn't say it was equitable with the amount of passion we had regarding that issue.
Right. Vaughn, let me go back to you. Vaughn works in the pharmacy at HCA Healthcare. As far as staffing, you kind of talked about it. Obviously, there's more pharmacists now than there were in years past. How do you feel about the situation right now with the new contract?
I think that for some it was for sure beneficial, but I definitely feel the company at their best tried to make it seem like they were doing more than what they were actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that, at least in my opinion, the people who've been there the longest period of time are going to see as much benefit from it as maybe some of the people who are new to the institution. And I think that's by design. I don't think that the company wants to address the fact that they've underpaid some of their most, I guess, loyal employees. And so they basically put some things in place so that they wouldn't have to address that.
Gotcha. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Joining us in our live line today is Stacy White and Vaughn Benton. Both are members of the bargaining committee for 1199 SEIU United Healthcare Workers East in the state of Florida, talking about a new three-year contract that's covering 10,000 nurses, CNAs, technicians, dietary aides, and other healthcare workers at 19 facilities in South Florida, Central Florida, Southwest Florida, and the Tampa Bay area. Big area there. We'll continue the conversation with them. And later in the show, we're going to check in with the new, well, almost new, general president of Laborers International. That would be Brent Booker. He took over the reins from Terry O'Sullivan in the beginning of May. Back in a few minutes, you're listening to America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating, we always appreciate those 5-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. You can find more at ulagency.org. Let's go back to our live line. We're focusing on the state of Florida today, and we're talking about a new contract with the service employees, 1199 SEIU, United Healthcare Workers East, the largest union of healthcare workers in the state of Florida. Website is 1199seiu.org/Florida. And the conversation is with Stacy White, who's with the bargaining committee. She's a speech therapist, and Vaughn Benton, who works in the pharmacy. He's a pharmacist and has been doing that for quite some time. They got a new contract ratified in June. Contract covers about 10,000 nurses, CNAs, technicians, dietary aides. We were talking in the first segment. Well, first of all, you're dealing with 19 hospitals. And just to refresh our listeners here, we're dealing with a company that's made a lot of money, and they're making money through us as taxpayers. Largest healthcare company in the nation, $13 billion in profits, $120 billion in revenue, and that's combined in 2021 and 2022. But here's the kicker. 40%, $24 billion of annual company revenue generated is generated from taxpayer-funded programs like Medicare and Medicaid. And many are saying, hey, you know what? HCA is a giant corporation. They can afford and should take proper care of their patients, staff, and all the people in the state of Florida. Well, this was still a rough battle here. Stacy, let's talk about how difficult it was. And you talked about this contract being a step in the right direction. And you mentioned, too, you should be dealing, as a speech therapist, you should be dealing with, what, eight patients a day, and said it's 30? With this new contract, it's kind of premature. I don't know. What will that be going down to so you can manage your patients more effectively? Do we know that answer yet?
I mean, I can't predict that answer. It's my hope that it will go down to a appropriate number to be able to adequately care for the patients that are under my care and for my coworkers to be able to do the same.
As a result of the fact that you're so overwhelmed with work, and this is something we really didn't get into in the first segment, people are leaving, and we're seeing that in a lot. I know the TSA, we talked to the government employees union, and they just got a big raise at the beginning of July, and their turnover was ridiculous. Hardly anybody that they hired the first year would be with them at the end of the year. Is that similar to what went on at HCA Healthcare in Florida?
I mean, I can comment on my own department and my coworkers that I see on a daily basis. From where I started, the amount of speech therapists for the department was 5 to take care of the entirety of the hospital. We're now down to 2 full-time and 1 part-time, and that was in the course of a few months, so the turnover is prevalent.
Now, with the contract here, are they going to push for more to join ACA here to make up for this difference? Is this going to address some of the wages here, so people, and obviously the benefits, to increase staffing?
Well, the new contract will definitely improve this situation. I mean, we have wage grids now. We have no salary caps for the first 2 years of the 3-year contract. It's the largest increase we've ever secured. There's across-the-board raises for full-time and part-time and wage equity rates in case someone is hired new on hire with comparable experience if they're making a higher raise than the employees that have been there and are loyal. It will bump the employees already there up to an equitable rate with that. But again, it's a step in the right direction. It's not a perfect scenario, so it will help. I don't know if that will completely fix the problem.
You know, I'm glad you brought up wage equity starting rates. And I'm reading, if a new hire is brought in at a higher rate than a current employee in that position with comparable experience, HCA must raise the impacted employees to the higher rate. Apparently, that was not the case. So if somebody came in, they could be with, I mean, they're not with HCA. They come from another competing healthcare company. They were making more money right off the bat. Was that pretty much the case then?
There were definitely instances of that occurring.
Oh, wow. But this is now addressed in the new contract. Vaughn, let me go back to you. How do you feel moving forward? I'm getting the indication that, hey, you know what? We did okay. We could probably do better. This is a three-year deal. How do you feel?
I think what we were able to accomplish, or at least get written on paper in stone, is definitely a great accomplishment. I think the challenge will be the burden of proof that's pretty much placed on the employees. Just for example, you recently talked about the equity. If someone comes in at a higher rate with similar work experience, well, they're not going to tell us that. So it's pretty much what require conversations amongst employees to even know whether or not, you know, somebody came in at a higher rate than them. And then it would also require some level of transparency about how years of experience is determined, mm-hmm. which, again, on paper, it doesn't necessarily correlate with what they have in their system.
Yeah. Well, Stacy and Vaughn, this had to be a learning experience for both of you. And, you know, Florida's been in the national news for probably all the wrong reasons politically. And I think it's important, and I always say this on the show, elections matter. And I know in your legislature, you have a supermajority, a GOP supermajority, and your governor obviously catering to big businesses. Not all of them. It depends on how they handle diversity, equity, and inclusion, but that's another story. But the bottom line is, you have to get politically involved and make sure, because you're dealing, in this case, you're dealing with, you know, taxpayer money. You're dealing with patients. You got an older population, very big senior population in the state of Florida. You want to make sure they get the best care. Do you feel after this experience of what you went through and the changes in, you know, in Florida politically, that your membership is a little more maybe engaged at this stage? I know you can only speak for yourself, but how do you react to that? Let's start with you, Stacy.
For myself personally, I'm definitely more engaged. Our union, 1199 SEIU, we help each other certainly to try to get the best care for our patients through bargaining contracts that help us get the pay we deserve, try to address the staffing shortages that need to be corrected in order to give that quality care to patients. And as you said, there's a large political component to everyone, to HCA. It's a large donor to campaigns that are affiliated with the governor, and just, yeah, everyone has to get involved politically, mm-hmm. to try to address this. It's a care crisis to try to address that.
Follow the money. Vaughn, same question. How do you feel?
I believe that there is a higher level of engagement, particularly just after bargaining, aside from the ways in which pay has been addressed. With the turnover that HCA has, unfortunately, we're always seeing new faces. And with that, there's a new opportunity for engagement in what the union has going on. And we've done a really good job throughout the past 3 to 4 months in taking advantage of that opportunity. I think we've seen some of the, from a percentage standpoint, the highest increase in new membership in quite some time, probably over 5 to 8 years. So now is the time to kind of maintain what we've already accomplished and get a lot of these new faces to, you know, do more than just receive the education, but actually take on leadership positions within the union and expand our strength in numbers as much as possible.
Very good. Stacy White, Vaughn Benton, member of the 1199 SEIU Bargaining Committee, or HCA Healthcare in the state of Florida. Website is 1199seiu.org/Florida. You go there, you can read about their new contract. Stacy and Vaughn, thank you so much for joining us. Keep in touch and stay strong, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You do the same.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Brent Booker is the new GP, that's General President of LIUNA, and he is coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you could find more at teamster.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. That's AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. Remember this. If you like a show, share that show. We count the downloads, and I appreciate all those of you that are sharing the show, because right now we're in the top 5% of all podcasts in the world. We're recorded in Cleveland, Ohio. We podcast to the world. Let's go to line number two. I'm excited to announce we have on line number two Mr. Brent Booker, who is the new general president of our presenting sponsor, and that would be Laborers International Union of North America, liuna.org. We feel the power here each and every day. Mr. Booker, welcome to America's Workforce. How are we doing today, my union brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
We should point out that Brent became the 11th general president of Laborers International. That was on May 1st, and we talked to Terry O'Sullivan just days before he kind of pretty much passed the torch over to you. How has that transition been going, Mr. Booker?
It's been great. I came back to LIUNA in January of this year and literally spent day in and day out with Terry, and the transition that I had to set us up and set me up is very much appreciated. You know, Terry and I went through, and I've known him almost my whole life, and we went through, you know, how to run a union, and there is no manual on how to be a general president. So having his guidance, having his support, having his leadership as I transitioned in is gotten me off the ground, up and running a lot quicker than I would have been had it just been me walking into this office all by myself. So the transition's been going great. But there's lots of work to do, lots to learn for me. He was in this chair for almost 24 years, so I'm in it for almost 3 months. So I got a lot of runway in front of me.
And I'll tell you, you got a lot of experience, too. Brent has served as Secretary Treasurer of Helmets to Hard Hats. He was also Secretary Treasurer of the North American Building Trades Unions. He had that from 2012 to 2022. And also, you got LIUNA in your blood. Why don't you talk to us about your relatives here from LIUNA? Can you give us some examples of your family here?
Absolutely. My grandfather started chartered a local union in the 1940s, early 1950s, and worked as business manager through the mid 70s. And then my father followed in his father's footsteps and started out as a field agent in my home local 795 in New Albany, Indiana, and moved out to Washington, D.C. And I grew up in the D.C. area. So I got to see my dad work at headquarters from the late 70s, early 80s, and he rose to General Secretary Treasurer of this organization. And I went to college and wasn't sure what I wanted to be and got a phone call and said, hey, why don't you come back and work at headquarters, work at Labor's. And I started in early 2000s in the construction department here at LIUNA headquarters.
Well, Brent, as you know, it is a good time to be involved in a union and to grow unions. I want to talk about growing LIUNA. You got a pretty big base, but I know you want to increase that base. Let's talk a little bit about what happened in the state of Pennsylvania about a month or 6 weeks ago, I-95, and how everybody came together in such a short, actually a record amount of time. You, as general president, got to be pretty proud of your brothers and sisters who responded to that. Can you share your passion for what happened over there?
So early June, a oil tanker coming down 95 got off the exit ramp, came out at its speed, and crashed into the underpass of 95, caused an explosion, causing the bridge to collapse. And the initial estimates after they put the fire out, you know, was it was going to be 2 or 3 months that 95 was going to be shut down. That would severely impact, you know, our ability to move goods and services up and down the East Coast. And a team of the Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, Labor's International Union of North America, our local unions and district councils in the Philadelphia region, the mayor of Philadelphia, the Secretary of Transportation and the state of Pennsylvania put their heads together and said, came up with a plan. And like I said, the early estimates were 2 to 3 months to get that bridge back up and running. And 12 days later, a temporary structure was put in place. There were 6 lanes of traffic, you know, moving goods and services again up and down this important corridor of the East Coast. So it's an incredible moment for us, you know, for the men and women of our local unions in the Philadelphia area, for our Philadelphia District Council to look at and celebrate the work they did. And to the point that about 2 weeks ago, I went up there and we hosted a reception for all of the building trades members. That the governor showed up, the mayor showed up, and our leadership, and most importantly, our members and their families who worked on that project showed up so we could celebrate them, so we could thank them, and we could show how proud we are of the work that they did and how important that they are. They're first responders, you know,
yeah.
And they were out there and they did a tremendous job.
And sadly, a lot of that didn't make the news. The accident made the news. The accident made the news. But, you know, it shows like this that we have to salute the people that responded. And like you said, in lightning speed, 12 days, and they come up with a temporary plan over there. That just doesn't happen. And it would not be able to happen if you didn't have skilled laborers getting involved in that, bringing all the parties together and making it happen, and where government and the workers actually got together and got things done ahead of time. That's good stuff. Good stuff there. So let's talk about growing the union. And you know, right now with Biden in the White House, I mean, the policies have been extraordinary here, especially with the Infrastructure and Jobs Act. And I know right now all unions are, well, apprenticeship programs are on fire right now. What do you see, and how do you plan to grow LIUNA's membership. I mean, this is, it does, you're very strong right now, but you want to make them stronger. What's the game plan here, Brent?
Yeah, I mean, and you have my messaging down pat, right? I've inherited an incredible foundation, an incredible union. And we're 500,000 members strong, and I'm, you know, it's an awesome responsibility for me, for our new team, to maintain what we have, but we can't be satisfied with what we have. And we do have to grow this union, and we invest in organizing like no other union in the world. And we are going to continue that investment in our organizing, and continue to work to, you know, get pro-union politicians elected in office. And you look what this Biden-Harris administration has done. You reference infrastructure, and that's great. $1.2 trillion over the next decade in infrastructure to bring our country up in roads, bridges, tunnels, waterway, waterworks and broadband and other industries. You know, and they weren't done with that. They then, you know, went around to the Inflation Reduction Act. And as our country is transitioning from fossil fuels into renewables, this administration saw, what we see. These jobs have to be union jobs. They have to be good jobs. And they have to be have union protections, prevailing wage protections, apprenticeship protections. So using this, you know, as we transition in, into, you know, renewable energies, we're gonna be able to grow our union in solar projects, offshore wind projects as we continue to maintain our current energy infrastructure. And then the next thing that they did, you know, was the CHIPS and Science Bill. And through COVID, we saw that, you know, our ability, and if you remember, you know, we weren't able to buy new cars, any electronics. We really struggled as a country and as a world that as these chips and manufacturing plants across the globe were shut down because of COVID, the Biden-Harris administration saw that there was a need to bring that manufacturing back within the United States and pass this bill that's going to create tens of thousands of jobs for LIUNA members, for other members of the building trade in places like Ohio and New York and Idaho with Intel and Micron and others. That are good union jobs, prevailing wage jobs, jobs that require apprenticeship. So it's a long-winded way of saying as we continue our current membership, you know, these opportunities have been created for us through infrastructure, through renewables, and through the CHIPS and Science Bill. We have to grow because these jobs opportunities are going to be out there, and we're going to meet that demand, and we're going to continue organizing, we're going to continue partnering with our signatory contractors and sign new contractors.
So, Brent, you mentioned the current administration. I take it you have already endorsed Biden-Harris for 2024 then?
We endorsed Biden-Harris for 2024. It was a no-brainer for us. They have been and are the most pro-union, pro-LIUNA member administration, certainly in my lifetime. And I just went through some of the examples of why we did it and how easy it was for us to make that decision. And you know, the jobs that they have created for our current members, our future members, our current contractors, our future contractors, made it an easy decision to endorse them. You know, Joe Biden has had our backs, and we're going to show over the next 2 years that we have his backs and get him reelected.
There you go, brother. I love it. Brent Booker, General President of LIUNA. That's the Laborers International Union of North America. LIUNA.org is the website. Feel the power. Keep that power moving. You can also follow Brent on Twitter, which I don't know how long that company is going to be around, but things have changed over there. Just put GP Brent Booker. Brent, you're always welcome here on America's Workforce, and thank you for being our presenting sponsor for so many years. Okay, brother?
You got it. I appreciate the opportunity. We'll talk again soon. Thank you very much.
You got it. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, we're going to check in with two labor federations, the Ohio AFL-CIO and the Maine AFL-CIO. Until then, all of you, have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.